All right, Jim Taylor back on WRMJ Aledo and WRMJ.com. Great to have Mercer County head wrestling coach Steve Speaker in studio with us this morning. 4 years as head wrestling coach of the Golden Eagles, but he's been involved in the program since 1999. He's a 1997 Westmer grad, was a state qualifier for the Aledo Westmer co-op. It looked like a pretty good year in the area, wrestling-wise, when you look at all the kids that were state qualifiers. I know the big story was a kid that didn't go out for wrestling his freshman year, and, I mean, buzzes his way through the 220-pound weight class and wins a state title. What about the Logan Lee story? My goodness.
My hat's off to Logan. He's a great kid. He wrestled with Steve-O's eighth grade year, so 3 years ago we took him down to Danville for what they call a Top Dogs competition as an eighth grader, and he was like, yeah, I don't know. And I tried to talk him into wrestling his freshman year, but he didn't. So for him to come out as a sophomore and do what he was able to accomplish to do is just – it's amazing. Yeah.
Well, and especially at that weight class. That's the thing, man. Yeah. Taking a year off and coming back and saying, well, I'm going to wrestle 220 pounds. Well, you're facing juniors and seniors, basically, upperclassmen.
Yeah, for him to do that was just – it's amazing, and you're right. That was all juniors and seniors, but if you've looked at Logan Lee, he doesn't look like a freshman or
a
sophomore.
No, I know. He looks like a statue is what he looks like.
He's like Ivan Drago from Rocky. But
stay away from him, kid.
He's one of the nicest kids you'll ever run across, no matter what he's talking about. He'll come up and talk to you for anything at any time. We're sitting there on the state floor, and I really didn't have the intention to coach. You know, I really wanted to coach my own, but I didn't get that chance to coach my own, unfortunately. So we're mat side, basically. Logan comes up. He's on the mat. And Coach Morford sat next to me, and Van Winkle and Whiteneck were all kind of four sitting there. Steve-O's sitting there, and we all start coaching. And at one point, Logan looks over at us and just nods and is like, I'm okay. I got this. And then he launches the kid to his back.
Yeah, wow.
And then in the second period, I think Logan gets put to his back. And he's scrambling to get off, and he looks over at, again, myself and Coach Morford, and he goes, I'm fine, wait a second, and then he ends up turning the kid and sticking him. So it was just a great feeling. After that match, I looked at my coaches, I was like, the only thing that would have made that better is him actually wearing blue and gold.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I felt like I just got done coaching one of our own state champs, so it was an amazing feeling.
Well, in the I always tell people, and I don't understand the nuances of wrestling, I readily admit that, but the theatrics of it, I really appreciate it by the theatrics of the coaches, because, like, the animation of the coaches when they're coaching on the edge of their seats, and they're making basically the move as the wrestler is making the move, and the amount of energy that must be at, the amount of energy that's expended by the coaches during the matches with their movement.
Yeah.
What about that? And not just the head coach, but you got the assistants doing the stuff too.
Yeah, so you think about it. On an individual, the kids only wrestle once. Coach wrestles 14 matches.
Yeah.
You know, on the tournament day,
yeah,
we wrestle every one of them. And it's, by the end of the day, you're exhausted. But it's worth it, especially when you can pull the Logan Lee upset type deal and win them things. But it's a brutal, brutal day for everybody.
I'm going to backtrack here. I've had the privilege of being down in that wrestling room. And it's a neat – I think that wrestling room is such a neat setup with a little you have the history of the wrestlers with the state of Illinois cutouts, and then where the kids have placed. It's like a neat room you would have in your kind of house, you know. I mean, when you go in there, I just think it's got neat – it's a neat atmosphere when you walk in that room. Much to be proud of, too. That's when you realize, man, there's been a lot of success in this program over the years, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's definitely been quite a bit of success. And we don't want to stop it, obviously. Since I took over, I don't know how many plaques I've had the privilege to put up. I changed the color scheme a little bit, gold for the champ,
yeah,
blue for state place finishers, and the whites for the qualifiers. And there's a lot of kids up there that are blue and blue, you know, so that's kind of nice. I've had one gold one, but there's a couple things I'd like to add. But what I try to get across to the kids is a constant reminder that they could actually have one of those, just constantly keep going.
Well, and I think the great thing about it is a lot of those kids that have been through the program, and I think wrestling is really one of those sports where it seems to me that a lot of kids, you know, and I'm careful when I say this, but it seems like more kind of wrestling kids come back and give to the program. I don't know if that's a fair assessment because maybe people say, you're crazy, Taylor. People do this in other sports. But it seems like with this Mercer County wrestling program, a lot of these kids that have been through, you see them back going to the meets or being involved in some of the instructional stuff and doing things of that nature, promoting the sport.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the year, since I've been around, the head coach has always told the seniors, you're more than welcome to come back. And I think for those guys that are coming back, the old timers now, as you call them, they enjoy the fact that they don't have to condition, and now they have that, they have the old man strength. Now they say, because they can come back and there's no pressure. And for the most part, most of these guys actually remember or realize wrestling was mental. A lot of it was mental, and if they just let go and just wrestle with these younger kids and have fun, that's all it is. It's about having fun.
You mentioned your current coaching staff. Why don't you elaborate? I like Coach Van Winkle, good dude, and Chris Whiteneck helping you out, and have one of the Morfords down there, and I mean it's a good group of dudes out down there. That's for sure.
Yeah, I can't remember when Coach Van Winkle, I think, graduated in '87. He was pretty talented on the mat as well. Knows a lot about it. He's very good with the numbers or the names. So he can remember kids from 6 years ago,
yeah.
You know. So taking him to seating meetings and stuff, that really helps. Coach Morford's the same way. Coming up through the junior high and paying attention to those kids, he's really in tune with that group of kids. So, and he's a lot of the technique, has a lot of that, and a younger version. So, I mean, he's just got all these new little ideas, mm-hmm. which is great to have. And then Coach Whiteneck comes from Iowa, so he has a little different twist to everything, as the Iowa guys do, but he still brings a lot to the room as well. So us four working together works out pretty well.
And you know, the other, we talk about, you know, especially in these dual meets, the gamesmanship that goes on and maneuvering your lineup depending on where the dual meet starts. You know, people don't realize that basically, you know, before these dual meets or these tournaments, you have the weigh-ins, and I know you go through certifications throughout the year. There's kind of a lot of stuff that, you know, goes into this. You can't say in boys basketball, well, you have to have a certain number of 6'5 guys, and they have, and you have to be 195 pounds this week, and this is how we're going to put this lineup together. So what about kind of the administration of all this, especially with this weight certification stuff? It sounds to me like it's really complicated. When you explained it to me in the front office, I'm like, man, you're talking over my head, dude. I don't know what you're talking about. And then, you know, in the locker rooms before the meets, you have weigh-ins for these tournaments and these dual meets. You deal with all that. That's a lot to do before you actually even get to the mat to wrestle.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of little hidden things, I guess you would say. So to start the year off, our year started November 9th this year. So by the 18th, November 18th, we already had a skin date or a weight date set up. So we brought somebody in, certify our weights. They do a hydration test, a weight test, and measure three different spots.
So that's not just like, we're going to call Jim Taylor at the radio station and he can come in and do this. No, I mean, it's like a registered nurse it's a certified person that does it. It's just not any old person.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a certified nurse through the IHSA. And I think our area only has one or two. Mrs. Hyatt does ours for us, and I think she does Rock Ridge's as well. And there might be another school in there. And at that point, she'll throw those numbers in. She measures your bicep, your scapula, and your belly, and then uses your weight and your hydration test. But sends that to the state, and the state comes back and gives you a piece of paper that says, all right, Steve Speaker, you weighed in at 175 pounds. Here's your measurements. You're 35% body fat, so you can go down to 138 pounds by February 2nd. And there's certain days in there that allows you to be at, that says, hey, on January 10th, you need to be at 152. Next week, you could be at 130 or 150.
So if his percentage of his body fat is a little higher, he can go down in weight class. That's basically how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. I just say, we'll not let you go under 7%.
Okay.
So it stops you at 7%. So back in the day when I wrestled, all I had to do was make half the weight classes, and I could have. So I really could have went under 7%. But now, today, they won't let these kids do that. So it's, I kind of like that, being it sanctioned a little bit that way, and it stops these kids from dropping extreme amounts of body weight. And then from there, every single duel, the day of the duel, right an hour before, we weigh in and we write their weights on a piece of paper. And then at the end of the year, at regional time, we have to take that IHSA weigh-in sheet, certification sheet is what we call it, and then every one of our duels and every one of our tournament weigh-in sheets and turn them in, so that way there you can look at them and make sure these kids certified on the right dates.
Man, that sounds like a lot. Is there ever any debate or, like, arguments, or is it pretty clear cut when you look at it?
For the most part, it is pretty clear cut. But I think the biggest argument and debate that there was with Sherrard and Mercer County with Coach Finch. There was an issue with one of the Weeks boys. I was still at the junior high level, so I really don't know exactly what happened. All I know is there was a lot of sparks at that regional meeting.
This is actually like before the matches. So this is going on before the matches.
Yeah, this was right before.
So how is that, like, stuff rectified? I mean, is it a situation where the numbers don't lie, or what do you argue? I guess what are the things you argue over?
I don't know what they were arguing about, as far as if it was his weight class that one of the boys didn't weigh in at or certified,
okay.
Or if it was, and we're also only allowed to have 21 duels and 4 tournaments. So I don't know if that was one of the things as well. They thought the one young man had more than 21 duels. So Sherrard was adamant that we cheated on one of them. And like I said, it was all rectified and everything was taken care of, but. Issues.
Okay, so what I'm getting at, you have to report every dual meet you wrestle at, and then that there's a check and balance within your body fat and the certification and stuff like that, that at the end of the year going into the regional. But do you have to certify then? You certify just one time early in the year, that's it? Or do you do that multiple times?
You can do that multiple times. Like I said, if I was the one step on the scale and they said I had 35% body fat at that point, it would give me certain dates that I could go down. So if I was trying to make weight classes,
I see.
Every one of those major weight class days is a certification day for me. So if I wanted to go to 60, then that was a certification date. If my ultimate goal is 45, then I had to meet all the weight criteria down to 45, and then I had to be at 45 on the day that I wrestled.
All right.
Because after Christmas, they give you a 2-pound growth allowance. So doesn't matter. I still have to make that scratch weight.
Man, how do you guys keep track of all that? My goodness.
That's what the assistants are for.
Yeah, that is a lot to deal with. My goodness.
Yeah, there's a lot of numbers, a lot of movement around.
All right. Well, you know, talking with Mercer County head wrestling coach Steve Speaker, and, you know, last night I was doing the basketball game, the regional championship here in town between Rock Ridge and Alleman. And I was talking to Coach Whiteman after the game, and he has a son that plays. And, you know, I asked him, and I said, you know, the ultimate testament is your son is a tremendous player, and he handled playing for his father like a champ. Can the father appreciate that during the course of the action? And can you be father, and can you maintain a father-son relationship while the kid is playing, or is it a coach player relationship? And that's a complicated, people don't realize that is a complicated relationship, because Coach Whiteman was, like, pretty poetic at the end of the game last night, because their season come to an end, and he's like, he basically struggled saying, was I a father to my son? You know, did I lose out on that for a couple of years because I wanted to have the coach relationship, the coaching player relationship over the father son relationship? You see what I'm saying? That's a tough thing to kind of struggle with, man.
Yeah, and I really struggle with it.
And that's why I ask you, because you have Steve and Seth in the wrestling room.
Yeah, it's great to be on the mat next to them and to be beside them, but at the end of the day, it can make it very difficult too, like you were saying. Something I've tried to do, and this would be a question next time you ever interview those two, ask those, but something I try to do is, if it's in the wrestling room, it stays in the wrestling room. And I have the car ride home to vent however I please about practice, about the duel, about whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when I walk in the door, I try not to talk about anything of the such. Now, that doesn't mean I don't say something to mom on my way by, but and then let her do her thing. But for the most part, I, as soon as I walk in the house, it's over.
Yeah.
And I, that's, it's difficult, especially this year. So I try to do both, but that's a really good question. I think the boys should answer.
Yeah, but do you ever sit back and say, man, and the heat, and that's why, you know, and I think parents sometimes need to understand, and I'm not talking about a coach-parent relationship, but, you know, just a parent that has a student-athlete playing, and I understand even from a broadcasting standpoint, I've had guys come on the air after games, and they're steamed, and they're mad, and they say things in the heat of the moment that they regret, okay, but people will jump on them and they'll say, and I'm like, game got to go 5 minutes ago, man. It's heat of, don't you understand what heat of the moment is? You know, and a lot of these sports are heat of the moment for coaches. And I don't call it bad behavior. It's just, you know, this is going on. It's high octane game. And maybe some things that you say or the encouragement or whatever you say to a kid during a game, the parent may go, oh, I don't know. Well, it's, you have to understand kind of with interscholastic athletics, there's heat of the moment type of stuff that goes on. I'm not talking about like hitting a kid or saying some terrible thing to a kid or swearing at a kid. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about kind of heat of the moment type of stuff that goes on, you know, between coach and student athlete and, you know, just after events take place. I always tell you, you need cooling off, period. That's when we talk about, you know, high school sports, because let's face it, you know, if you're playing football, and even at the high school level, it's kill or be killed. You know, in high school wrestling, it's get exposed or win.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, dealing with that in the heat of the moment, people have to kind of understand that, and especially from a coaching standpoint, too.
Yeah, I've definitely been in the heat of the moment. I said probably over the years some stuff I shouldn't have. But
and that's what I'm talking about with the kind of the dad, son, coach, you yeah. know, wrestler kind of relationship that you have. And mom will say, come on, you're a little bit too hard on him. And you'll say, wait, no, come on, wait. You
yeah.
know? So I know that the what I'm saying, the delicate equation you kind of deal with, the checks and balances.
I agree with you, and I think that's why I don't, once I walk through the door, I'm done, because I might stew a little bit longer than everybody else, or if the duel's really, really close, you know, I might. That's one reason why I keep skating around how everybody asks me, is there anything you could have done different to, you know, I don't want to ever blame one individual yeah. kid when it's all 14, you know, and with dealing with my two, that's kind of the way it is. I try to treat them equal as everybody else, and I don't. That's why it would be a great question for both of those, you know. And I do kind of wish I wouldn't have, to be honest, jumped up to the high school right away to watch those both of those guys wrestle through junior high. And I definitely missed out on those junior high years. But now that I'm up there and both of those guys are up there, I'm going to try to make the best of it with them as long as they want me to.
Well, and that's the other special bond, though, you get. I mean, you're so fortunate that you get to coach your kids, too. I mean, that's the one thing. And, like I tell people in, you know, doing this for 25 years, and when you talk to a lot of coaches that have done it for a while, and you ask them about, well, what is it all about, they very rarely talk about, like, specific games or specific seasons. They kind of talk about other things maybe we on the outside don't get to see. You know what I'm saying? It's the stuff on the inside where you're practicing or you're traveling on a bus somewhere or doing that type of stuff. That's the nuances that the people on the outside that don't coach every day, they don't get to kind of see that stuff. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's more than just like, hey, we're having a dual meet or we're going to the state tournament. It's kind of the other stuff that's beyond that. When you're done and not doing it anymore, those are the type of things that you miss the most.
Yeah, this year is going to be interesting, this group of kids. And even the past four high school group of kids that I've had every year, you know, you brought up the one with Matt Weeks on the mat with Sterling Newman. Those are the little bitty things that you, as a coach, that you hold on to. And then, you know, it's the underdog story is kind of like the one young man that was 28 his freshman year or whatever, and wins it his senior year. We, you know, we haven't won that state title as an individuals yet, but I've got those kids in there, and sometimes those are the kids that you look at and go, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why we're doing it. We had two or three last year. We had one or two this year that, boy, they struggle when they get out there. And when they come off with their hand held, it almost puts a tear in your eye, you know. And you're supposed to be the big bad coach, you know, and you're looking at everybody else and you're just excited as everybody else. But deep down, you're thankful that that young one, man, actually fought one out for the whole 6 minutes. And that's, again, that's why we do it, I think. It's not for the big wins. It's for those itty-bitty little things that teaches them that.
Is there like a match that stands out this year, and taking away from like Angle and the Carey boys that have had great years, and Camden Whiteneck won 40 matches. I mean, the guys that you saw in the box score every night won basically every night. But I'm talking about, is there a story right now that stands out this year where you say, man, this kid, I can't believe he did that? Or it may even have been a loss and he didn't get pinned or whatever. Is there like a moment that you say to a kid, I am so, what you just did for this program or this team today, I'm so proud of you. Do you understand that? Maybe the kid will look at you, I lost the match, what are you talking about, or whatever. I mean, is there something that stands out, that type of moment this year, or your 4 years that you've coached?
One in particular, not right away. You know, this year alone, you had Jonathan Svoboda. He was a JV kid.
Yeah, he won that tournament,
and
man.
He goes up there and wins a varsity tournament, and I looked at him. It was the Stillman Valley tournament. I said,
that's a pretty good tournament.
I was like, you understand that I wrestled 152 for 4 years in high school, wrestled 3 years at that tournament, and I never did win that tournament. And he just kind of looks at me. You know, and Kyle Bigham's another one. unfortunately, the guy just sometimes doesn't have the luck. And then when he steps off, and he did that this year a couple times, went the distance and pulled him out. Just those guys that, you know, Madden Tacey, he did one this year, had one this year that where he had wrestled, and all he had to do is not get stuck, and he comes back with just a loss. So those guys that do that save you huge points, and it's, you know, you won't forget those.
Well, and we talked about it before in, you know, the sport of wrestling within the IHSA. Do you think there's something better the IHSA could do to promote the sport? Maybe that's an unfair question. I think they do a great job, the individual state tournament, in terms of what they've done with that, with the State Farm Center. I know I've always argued about, you know, if you want a true team concept, you know, I'm a big believer in the dual team regional should come back, because it's basically two local schools going mano a mano to move on to the
sectionals.
Team, yeah, the dual team sectional. I think the schedule, my opinion, allows it, but I've had a couple coaches tell me, well, no, because you're how are you going to get that in with the individual state going on? I don't know. I always thought that was, to me, something that could promote the sport a little bit in terms of a, you know, school against school type of setting to move on to the sectional format.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's definitely needs to be something done a little bit different for those top two schools coming out of the regionals. You look at our regional, we had eight of the nine that was ranked. I think we went in there with seven out of the nine that was ranked come February 4th. You go to the Dakota regional, exact same way, and then we all meet in one sectional. So you really have your four studs all in one at every weight class, pretty much at one sectional. And it would be nice to have that wrestle off somewhere else. As far as advertising, I just think we need to talk about it more. And wrestling's that one easy sport where people just kind of constantly push it under, because, no offense to anybody else, there's a lot of basketball games going on, there's a lot of football games. So it's just, everybody knows basketball, like you said. So
they think they do.
That's the easier one to talk about. And the wrestling, a lot of people don't understand it, and then it just kind of gets pushed to the side.
So. Well, and I tell you what, though, in my job, I think wrestling kids do a really good job on interviews when I interview them. Kids, whatever school they're from, they can explain the match, you know. I think they just do a good job talking about the sport. Most of the wrestling kids I've always interviewed from whatever school, I think they do a good job of talking about their sport. You know, as we wind down our time here, you know, looking at the status of the program, we talked about it at the beginning. I mean, still in very good shape. I know you talk about who you're losing this year, but I mean, there's still a lot of talent coming back. The dynamic's going to be a little bit different because I think the lower weight classes are where you feel going into the next season that we should get a lot of points with, you know, Caden Harmon. He's back, and I know what a year he had with the injury he was dealing with. Man, he came through this year. I mean, he had two different injuries, and then, you know, we know what Stoat Engel has accomplished this year. And then Camden Whitenack. I mean, those are going to be, we call them three horses at the lower weight classes. Normally, you know, you look past couple of years, it's been the upper weight classes that have got it done for you.
Yeah, this coming year is going to be interesting. And you said it, Whitenack will be a junior. Steve-O will be a junior. And what those two guys bring to the table, I think this year, you know, they brought close to 70 wins to the team this year. Harmon, I think Harmon actually had more competition time than actually practice time. And you're right, for what he was able to accomplish the other night was because that kid either placed at state or was a state qualifier, and he went out there and held his own and took home the W. But going into that match, I told Harmon one thing, and I promised him one thing going into that match. I was like, the only thing I'm going to promise you is you're going to get tired. So I said, you need to put that in the back of your mind right now and understand that you're going to get tired. And he did. And then what Stone's going to bring back for us, you know, unfortunately we didn't end up where Stone wanted this year.
Yeah,
Stone didn't end up where Stone wanted. So I think he's going to come into the season a little bit more hungrier than what he has to get what he wants to. He's definitely going to bring them. We've got a few eighth graders coming up. We got a couple JV guys that didn't crack the lineup this year that are going to create havoc, I think, on some people. Noah Miller was at 120 this year for us at varsity. Another year with him as a sophomore, and I think he'll come in with a little bit different attitude. Seth had to wrestle behind Noah, Harmon and Stone and Ethan, so no matter what three weight classes he was stuck there, I think hopefully he'll come back with a little bit of vengeance this following year. So we'll see.
Coach, it's been great covering your program, and you talk about promoting the sport. I've always thought you've done a great job doing it, and you're great to work with, so I appreciate you promoting the sport. And the kids we always deal with in the wrestling program, interviewing them, they do a great job too. So expecting big things again from the Eagles in 2017-2018. So thanks for the help all year, and congratulations on another great run.
Thank you.
All right, good to have Steve Speaker with us, man. 4 years as the head wrestling coach, and the Eagles had another great year. They took Lee Wynn Stockton down to the wire at that state team duel. We'll take a break and wrap things up on the WMJ Sports Line.